excited to be here today with Tiffany Paulson. Oh my goodness, your career is just exploding. Congratulations on Holidate.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here to talk to you.
So I just have to know, how does it feel? You've had so many successes with the ABC Writing Fellowship, with the Film Academy, but how does it feel to have the number one film on Netflix?
Well, it feels flipping amazing. It's been really exciting, the success of the movie. I mean, I think we all thought we had a little gem there, something really special, but it has really exploded, and the reaction has been just overwhelming. So I think we're all pleasantly surprised and so thankful that the movie has just done so well.
It's incredible. I mean, I read that it's number one in 87 countries.
It was number one in 87 countries, and we were number one for about the first 10 days we came out, with Netflix, you know, constantly bringing on their new, their new projects, especially around the holiday time. We continued to stay number one, continued to stay in the top 10. So that was really exciting. I don't know if you can quote that we're still, you know, probably not number one now, because we've been out for almost 28 days now, I think.
Congratulations. So. I still know that we have a screenshot of you being number one, so I'm okay with that.
Yes, no one can take that away from me, right?
No one can take that. What did you do to celebrate?
Oh my gosh, what did I do? I probably just, you know, sat here by my fire with my glass of wine and toasted myself. Sadly, to have such a big success in COVID, you know, it hasn't been the group celebration that we all would have liked to have enjoyed, but we do have a fun little group text with Emma and Luke and Kristen and Francis and, you know, our amazing cast, and John Weitzel, our unbelievably fantastic director. So we're constantly in touch, and we're constantly sharing those screenshots. And so we have that little family that we get to stay in touch with and enjoy that. But it's unfortunately through text and Zoom.
It is a strange COVID time, but even though it's a time of people feeling so alone and uncertain, obviously your movie struck such a great chord that people are sharing it. I mean, it's kind of has almost a little bit of Wedding Crashers feeling. And I read an interview where you said it was kind of an anti-Hallmark.
I'd like to say it's the anti-Hallmark. I mean, it definitely has the hallmarks of the Hallmark and the warm fuzzies that we look for in those Christmas movies. But, you know, it's got some edge to it. It's got some unexpected moments. So it's definitely not the family and kids holiday movie.
No, the music with the Easter egg hunt was amazing.
That's one of my favorites. That is one of my favorites.
I love that. And I also loved all the cultural references, like when they change dresses and they talk about Carrie. And, you know, their dirty dancing moment that, you know, it's like this big scene and then fall. So there's such good surprises.
Thank you. Yes, I love that. The dirty dancing. And then we were able to get the music. I think that was probably like 95% of our music budget. But they, you know, it was like that scene only works if you have the actual time of your life. So we were so lucky to get that. I think that's one of my favorite moments in the movie, too.
I know you said you were lucky, but I have the feeling that a lot of what's gone on for you this year has been a lot of preparation. I mean, you came to Los Angeles from Seattle to start in the acting and then move to writing, and you've done a lot of work getting fellowships and being part of the Sony Diverse Directors Program. Like, it's, I think you said you were an overnight success, but not exactly overnight.
A 15-year overnight success, right? Yeah.
Can you speak to that a little bit for people that I know there's such a big dream to come to California, to Los Angeles and make it, and that people feel like, well, you know, I gave it 3 months and it's not really working out. Like, you've obviously been very tenacious.
Well, I have. I kind of didn't really have a backup plan. I'm from a really tiny town in Washington State, and my plan was always to get out and be an actor, and that was kind of it for me. So if it didn't work out in entertainment, I'm not sure, I probably would be making coffee in Starbucks, which would be a lovely career as well, but not quite as exciting perhaps. But I did set out to be an actor, and I started in Seattle and then got to LA as soon as I possibly could. I think I'm a really good example of how the dream can change, where I knew I was going to do something in entertainment, and, you know, had, I like to say I had a lot of small parts in a lot of big movies. So I got to dip my toe in the acting world for a while, and then had just decided, if nobody ever casts me again, I will write my own movies and I will direct my own movies, and started writing, and just got so lucky that one of the, I think the first or second thing that I had written script, I ended up winning that ABC Disney Writing Fellowship. And that really changed my career path, where I thought, maybe I should start taking this writing thing a little more seriously. And that's, I've kind of stayed on that path ever since.
It's really incredible. And I think it speaks a lot to, you know, being willing to take risks, and what you said about changing your dream. Because I think during COVID, I know for me, I before COVID, I really was a travel journalist. And now I'm more of a lifestyle journalist. And that's not maybe such a big shift, but it's a mental shift. And I think being on set, you know, now you're also executive producing, right?
Yes, producing and moving into directing as well. So,
oh, really?
Irons in the fire. Yes, I'm writing and directing a movie for Netflix next year. It's not announced yet, but all our deals are done. So that's really exciting. That for me, the next steps of my career is really moving into. I've been so fortunate to have many movies made, and now I would like to be on the other side of the camera for those movies. So I'm really looking forward to that.
That's very exciting. And so I know you can't announce that one, but you have announced some other ones. You're going to be working with Kenny Ortega, right?
I'm working with Kenny right now. Yeah, it's such a dream of mine. I have been such a fan of Kenny's work since I was at Disney. I worked a lot at Disney Channel, and I've always followed his career, and he's such an icon. He's such a legend. You know, he is the one that choreographed the original Dirty Dancing. And so that Dirty Dancing move is a
move.
So it's an honor and a thrill for me to be working with him. And we are doing a big holiday Christmas musical. It's based on the best-selling children's books called Auntie Claus. As Kenny Auntie Claus. I say Auntie Claus. It's a really fun journey into the North Pole. It's going to be fantasy and great original Christmas music and lots of dancing elves and a North Pole unlike any we've ever seen. And so we've rolled up our sleeves, and we are deep into that one. It's going to be really exciting for Netflix as well.
That's incredible that in this time where a lot of people feel like maybe nothing's happening, that you're really experiencing a lot of things are happening.
I've been so lucky to be so busy, yes.
And then I know at the end of Holiday, which I just loved, there were some snippets of the different relationships. I love that it wasn't just the two main characters. Like, I love the doctor and how he would show up at different holidays. He was always working. He was so funny.
He was always working.
But what is there, do you think there might be hope that we might see some of those characters again?
You know, I am hopeful. We will see. The movie has been so successful. I'm getting, you know, emails and little DMs every day going sequel, sequel, sequel. And I think I have spoken to this before. I do have some fun ideas of where that story would go. And so I remain optimistic and hopeful. But, you know, we have an extraordinary cast, and everybody is very, very busy. And, you know, Emma's about to have a baby, which is so exciting. So we'll see. Cautiously optimistic.
Okay, well, I would love to see that. And it would be great maybe if you could travel with them somewhere. I know you had mentioned in the past you were looking for more traveling. So after COVID, if things start opening up, do you have a favorite destination you want to go?
Well, first of all, I'm dying to get to Hawaii. I was supposed to go to Kauai in March, and it was all canceled. And so I really am excited to go to Hawaii. You know, my not so secret dream would be to shoot a holiday sequel in Australia and take everybody down under. And so, you know, that would probably be on my short list as well. And Iceland, can I say that? I'm dying to go to Iceland if I'm checking off bucket lists.
You're very good at manifesting. So you should definitely say where you want to go, because it'll probably happen.
Great. Then I'd like to manifest my mountain cabin as well. I'm gonna put that out there. My writer's retreat in the mountains. I'm working on that one too.
I think that'd be great. And I know that you've done a lot of work with some of the other people that are trying to, you know, grow themselves in the industry, judging competitions and mentoring. Is there anything you would recommend to people that hope someday that they have a number one film on Netflix? Obviously, persistence, but are there specific things that you recommend that people could do?
I always recommend, I'm sitting here talking to you today because I put at one of the lowest points in my life, I had a wedding canceled and multiple things going on. I popped a script in the mail with 24 hours left before the Disney ABC Writing Fellowship's deadline. And I ended up winning that fellowship and it changed my life. And prior to that, I had been a finalist in the Nichols Fellowships, which is put on by the Academy Awards. It's one of the most prestigious writing competitions. And even just getting in, I think it was, I can't remember, top 25, top 50, whatever those finals are, I had so many calls and people reaching out to me for meetings and to talk about ideas. And that's what just getting, being in the finals prompted me to pitch an idea and write my second script, which won this fellowship. So I'm always an advocate for sending your work out to competitions. There are so many of them that are really quality competitions that you get. Some of them will give you feedback and notes. If you are lucky enough to even become a finalist in those or win them, people want to read your work, managers want to sign you. So my number one thing I always say is competitions have at least served me well. I also am not a big proponent of putting limits on your career. Like if I don't in, like you said, 3 months, if I don't in 5 years, if I had put limits on my career, again, I probably wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. I also had early success. And then I had, a long time where I was working, but not getting films made. So I always think putting deadlines, it's just a big dead end that's working its way toward you. And I say, keep it open-ended, be open to what the universe brings you and be open to changing paths if that shows up.
I think that is always good advice, but during COVID and this time when people feel, especially COVID coming into the holidays and a lot of people feel anxious and depressed. And so that's very good advice is never give up competitions. What about, you've gone to a lot of different programs, like where you studied at New York Film Academy. What do you think about people making the time to go to school?
Oh, I think absolutely. To find programs, or I do a lot of master classes. I'm a big proponent of master class as well. Like I've been watching Ron Howard, who is an icon of mine. He probably wouldn't, have 22 hours to spend with me. And I've been watching Jodie Foster, how she breaks down a scene in Martin Scorsese. So I love master class. I did a very short program at the New York Film Academy because I needed somebody to kick me in the butt and force me to make my first short film. Mm-hmm. So being a single mom, working nonstop, it was really challenging to go to a longer program. So for me, that was just a kind of a quick evening filmmaking program where they forced you to make something. And from getting that done, having a short that ended up going on to win some competitions and place in some competitions. And we were officially entered into Palm Springs International. From that, then people started taking me seriously as a director. So all of those little baby steps are just building blocks on opening up your career. So I'm definitely an advocate of anything you can do to continue educating yourself, no matter what level you are in your career.
Well, hopefully soon you'll be the one teaching the masterclass.
Well, wouldn't that be lovely? I got to learn a little bit more, but that would be nice.
It's been a big focus lately, the See It, Be It from the Cannes Film Festival and the See Her project from the Gina Davis Foundation that, we've really been looking at how many women are behind the camera and how many women are in the writer's room. And I think it's a really great thing to see you having so much success.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yes. And I have been really blessed to be surrounded by incredible women producers, incredible women executives. So hopefully I will just continue to participate and create opportunities for other women coming up.
Absolutely. And so what, is there one specific film that sort of inspired you that you're like, I want to be an actress, which evolved into, I want to be a writer, I want to be a director? Did you always love film, or were you more from the book side? Because I know you did the Nancy Drew stories too.
I did an adaptation of, well, I wouldn't say an adaptation. We took the Nancy Drew character and we brought her to Los Angeles. That was my first studio movie with Warner Brothers. I was really writing. I wrote my first play in the third grade. I remember it very specifically. So writing early on, acting early on, those are things like always, you know, I don't remember not having those goals in my life. As far as something that I always looked at and aspired to, for me, it was, I mean, I'm such a child of John Hughes and 16 Candles and Pretty in Pink, those movies really shaped me as a writer and what I aspire to, you know, hopefully write something as great as John Hughes and as great as Nora Ephron. When Harry Met Sally to me is the epitome of the perfect romantic comedy. And to this day, my all-time favorite rom-com. It's so brilliant and genius and simple and sweet and smart, and Rob Reiner's direction and Nora Ephron's writing, to me, it's just the perfect movie.
I also love that movie, but I think you have some great scenes that, you know, capture a lot of those feelings. I love the movie, and I loved how so much happened at the mall. I mean, I think that's a lot of the United States experience.
Oh my gosh, aren't we all missing the mall right now? Yeah.
I thought that was amazing. It's really, really, your success is impressive. And I really appreciate that you say that you're a 15-year overnight success, because I think that people forget that there's a lot of hard work. And like you said, it's kind of a roller coaster. There was a time when you were working, but you weren't getting films made. And it sounds like you never gave up.
No, it wasn't an option.
Is there anything like a specific, I don't know if you had a mantra or a book you read, like on the days when you, or maybe you didn't. For me, when I'm writing, there are days when I think, this is the day to quit. And then I have to really sort of think why not to quit. But is there something that you hold that you just kept you motivated?
Well, I like to clean a lot. When I can't do it anymore, I will find something to clean and organize. But the messaging that I've had, and maybe this doesn't work early on in your career, but it's like, I would go, you've always worked as a writer. You've always worked as a writer. You will get that job. You will come up with that great idea that's going to inspire you to want to work when nobody's paying you to do it and write that original spec. And so I think that that's kind of the messaging, is that kind of push past the fear. Put fear on the back burner. It's not serving you right now. As my grandma always said, it's not time to worry yet, and keep going.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us and for making all of these amazing films, Turkey Drop, Holiday. And I can't wait to see what happens with Kenny Ortega and when you can tell us about the Secret Next project. And I heard there might be something with 27 Dresses. Okay, so if people want to follow you, where's the best place to look for you? Are you on Instagram? Are you on Twitter? Where can people find more about you?
But I do Instagram, and I'm working on being much better on my Instagram since I've had so much fun stuff to post for the movie. So I'm at the Tiffany Paulson with an EN on Instagram. I also have a website that has contact. You know, it's fun if people want to reach out to me. I probably should tweet, but oh my gosh.
No. You don't. I'm not giving you homework.
No. Okay. I didn't think you were, but I don't tweet. But Instagram, yes. And I would love to.
Is there one, just before you leave us, is there one scene from Holiday that's just your so favorite that you want to remind everybody to watch Holiday on Netflix? Was there one special moment? I mean, it's probably like, how do you pick between your children? You probably love it, the whole movie.
Oh my gosh. Like I really genuinely love the whole movie. I think Emma is so brilliant in this. I mean, I'm, like you said, the mall, the finale at the mall, I think is pretty beautiful. And I have to say, I really love the car scene when she is having, when he, there's an emergency in the movie, not, spoiler alert, and when she has to drive. I love the way that those two interact in that scene. I think it is hilarious and so much fun. And you don't get a car chase scene in a lot of romantic comedies.
No, that's true. That was a great one. Well, again, so look for Tiffany Paulson on Instagram and watch the number one film on Netflix, Holiday. Thank you so much for making the time to talk with me. I hope the rest of this year is very fruitful for you, and I can't wait to watch your next movie.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me and taking the time to chat with me. This was super fun. It was so great to meet you.